Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, archives, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. How about that? Speed Weeks 2020, well underway. So glad you could tune in. Tonight, I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the Racetime Radio studio and live to you around the world on racetimeradio.com and SiriusXM channel 167. Have we got our program lined up for you tonight? Speed Weeks, we'll get you caught up at least as much as we can over the next 2 hours. Got a lot of great guests coming up. Junior, it all begins. 2020 is underway.
It is. It's here.
Yeah.
We've got a chance to watch lots of great racing action so far, hearing lots of little stories in and around the background of the dirt track, of the asphalt track, you know, New Smyrna Speedway, and then as well, the big stuff over at Daytona is all underway as well, and we got to watch approximately $40 million get tore up over the last 2 days.
live
on TV. Stock Car Steel and SRI parts products down in North Carolina are definitely going to be processing some orders over the next little while. They've tore up a lot of race cars so far this week, and it's just beginning.
Yeah, it is. Just out of the gate. And let me tell you who we got coming up for you tonight. Of course, at the big track just yesterday at Daytona International Speedway, Speed Weeks always gets kicked off with the ARCA Menard Series, and it did again yesterday. We got Michael Self going to join us on the program. He went to Victory Lane at Daytona his second time. How about that? He had a great race. It was questionable. I didn't know whether Michael was going to be able to pull it off. He had a good, strong Venturini Toyota. He had Dino packed in there. And tell you what, he got the job done. We'll hear from Michael tonight. We had a couple Canadians in the field there yesterday, one of them being Jason White from Sun Peaks, B.C. He drove it home, Joe. Sixth place finish. Great run for the number 12. I said 11 all week because that's what he was in practice. But sure enough, he was in the number 12. Did a great job.
Yeah, definitely. And really an amazing finish for Andy Hillenberg and Fast Track. Just a great outing for them. And a lot of momentum heading into the Truck Series weekend on Friday. We'll talk to Jason about that. Obviously, the exciting moments are at the race. He was dodging bullets.
Oh, he was.
You know, he was swatting flies inside the race car and really kept the nose clean. The car came home without a scratch on it. Even had some Canadian contingent down there supporting them with the likes of Larry Jackson and those guys. So pretty cool to see some, you know, NASCAR Pinty Series standouts, you know, down there and kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah, we'll catch up with Jason tonight. We're also going to try, and I say we're going to try, Austin McDonald, driver of the number 13. He's out of Nova Scotia. He's down at New Smyrna Speedway. And he's participating in the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. He came out of the box, night number one, with a fifth place finish in a super. Did a fantastic job. Night number two didn't quite go the way he wanted it to. He finished the race, I do believe, not a mark on the car. I want to say he finished right around that 10th spot. Qualified 15th, but it was a rocket-fast super late model race last night. We are going to try and catch up with Austin. Of course, New Smyrna Speedway running again tonight. So we're going to try and get Austin in between races sort of thing. I don't know exactly how it's going to work out, but we're going to give it a whirl here in hour number one. We'll also hear big news for APC. The number 22 car isn't going to be piloted by Jamie Cox in the APC series. No, no. Seen the big release. Came out Thursday or Friday. PD Shepherd is going to go full-time APC, and we're going to catch up with Pete tonight here on the program. We'll also talk to another prominent Canadian in the NASCAR world. This guy used to run Barry Speedway. I'm talking quite a few years ago now, and then went down and started working for NASCAR in the head office, worked his way all the way up to the Truck Series director. Of course, I'm talking about Brad Moran, and Brad is going to join us tonight on the show. We'll talk about the Gander Truck Series and the season opener at Daytona coming up on Friday. We'll get a look behind the curtain, if you will, with the director of the series, Brad Moran. We got that and a whole pile of more to talk about, but let's get to the hotline, shall we? And we'll bring in that big Arca Menards winner, driver the number 25 for Venturini in a Toyota with Sinclair on the car. Big Dino, let's welcome in Michael Self, the winner of the race. What's going on, Michael? How are you?
Not much, man. Feeling pretty good tonight. How are you guys?
Oh, doing fantastic, man. I'll tell you what, you had us sitting on the edge of our seat last night watching that ARCA race. You did an awesome job once again, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, we're fortunate to have an awesome car. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't say fortunate because the guys back at the Venturini Motorsport Shop worked their tails off all off season to build good cars for us. And that Super Speedway car was a product of that. A car that was a lot of fun to drive, had a lot of speed, great balance, and a good car to take control of that race.
Now, you're a sporty cat when it comes time for marketing for Sinclair. But I got to say that, and I was commenting throughout the race, you should have had a big inflatable dinosaur inside that box behind the seat, my friend, because that was the oil box. You guys stepped up to a whole new level inside the car, that inside the cockpit of that race car.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, that, you know, goes to the guys back at the shop trying different things. And you know, obviously I don't have a whole lot to do with that kind of stuff, but Kevin, Shannon, Billy, you know, everyone over there at Venturini, it's a lot of smart minds that have come together, and I think that's why you've seen Venturini have so much success here the last couple of years, and really turn their program on the upwards. You know, it's guys that they're smart, that are open to trying new things, and, you know, whether that particular thing helped or not, I don't know, but we certainly had a good car because of the guys and the work they do.
I do have a question about kind of towards the end of that race. You had the opportunity to choose the top or the bottom, and of course you chose the bottom, and instead of having your teammate push you off the top side, talk to us a little bit about the call made right towards the end of that race.
Yeah, I think we kind of just went with what had worked for us all night. We'd been restarting really well on the bottom. We'd been able to pull out, and as long as we were on the bottom, it seemed like we were able to single file guys out pretty well with our car for some reason. And the four, you know, she'd done a really good job of pushing all night. You know, it was just like I said, kind of one of those decisions of what we thought had worked for us all night, kind of what we wanted to do and what we wanted to stick with right there. You know, the risk you face is if you do restart on the top and the bottom does get even with you, and you know, the tendency for guys in the ARCA race is to drop down and paint the yellow line, so to speak, it's too easy to get hung out down there. And the odds of you getting hung out on the top are way more likely than they are on the bottom. So that's not really something we wanted to risk there with only a couple laps to go.
With Michael Self tonight, he went to Victory Lane just last night at Daytona International Speedway, kicked off the ARCA Menard Series in style in Victory Lane. Michael, your second trip to Victory Lane at Daytona with the number 25. Does this one feel any different than the other one?
No, this one's definitely just as special as the first one was. And it's cool they both came in different ways. You know, when I won the first time 2 years ago, we only led about five or six laps that night, avoided a lot of accidents to be in the right place at the right time. This one we were able to kind of take control of from the very beginning. So it's cool to show that we were able to do that and win them in both ways. And there's nothing quite like winning at Daytona International Speedway.
You know, Junior and I had a good chuckle at the end of that, watching the post-race coverage, watching the Victory Lane interview. And we knew it was coming, so did you. Anybody that follows Venturini knows that when one of their cars goes to Victory Lane, man, you got to pucker up because Bill Sr.'s coming at you. Tradition, an Italian tradition, is give that guy a kiss. And I said to Junior, oh, here it comes. I haven't seen Senior yet. And then I seen him come into the frame. And the look on your face, Michael, was priceless. I know you were saying, damn, I got to do this. I want to do it, but I don't.
Yeah, no, you know what? I love Big Bill. I mean, he's what he's done for me and given me the opportunity to do through his business. I have all the respect in the world for him. And he is as passionate as anybody in the entire garage. He's very proud of what he's done and what he's built. And his traditions, you know, that's a big part of it for him. That makes him happy. So, you know, there's worse things out there.
The team itself, obviously, Venturini is known for having teams come in or drivers come in and stay for a short period of time. And not for performance, but usually because they're stepping up through the ranks. And you know, it's always unique to follow along and see not only Venturini, but really all the ARCA teams, because they only work with a driver for a handful of races usually, or one season, and then they kind of disappear. Talk a little bit about the differences. Obviously, you've got a different crew chief this year. You've got a different backbone. You've added sponsors like Champion and all those changes kind of behind the scenes. But what's the team like? Obviously, you went out and won, so we know that you're strong. But what's the team like with the new additions, the new drivers, the new teammates that you get to work with? Talk a little bit about the dynamics that you guys have, you know, that is maybe different than last year or in years past.
Well, I think you look at, you know, kind of maybe take age out of the equation a little bit and look at the experience levels. You know, last year we had Christian there who has a ton of experience racing from a really young age, a lot of super late model success. You know, Christian kind of climbing the ranks, going through that Toyota ladder, where now, you know, we've got Drew and guys like Ryan Rebko there who don't have quite as much racing. You know, Drew's a relatively new driver. He's only probably got, you know, 50 asphalt races under his belt in his entire life. So it's a much different learning curve for those guys. There's going to be a ton of firsts this year for Drew, and where Christian just had more experience in those places, you know. And so I think we're all kind of stepping in and trying to help him. You know, I know I talked to him and Ryan a lot yesterday about what to expect in the race. You know, what I felt like they could do to put themselves in the best position to be as prepared as possible. And both of them and the other guys that we're going to have come through the program this year, I think are all students. They all want to learn. And I think they're all keeping their eyes and ears open because they've seen the success that, like you said, guys that have come through Venturini have had and have been able to move up to the upper series. And that's what these kids want to do. They're just going to listen. They're going to listen to everyone around them, and that's an important thing to do at their age. There's times when I think back and wish I'd done a little bit more of that myself back then.
Well, you'd be a good teacher now. I can tell you that, Michael. You do an awesome job behind the wheel. You're a personable guy, and I'll tell you what, they're lucky to have a teammate like you. I hate to do this, but we got to think back a little bit. I know at the end of last year, it really stung.
You're not going to ask
them. Do you wipe that out of your mind now? Are you there for redemption now? The 2020 season, is this going to be your championship year?
Well, I mean, I am here for redemption. Last year did sting, but as of 2 days ago, we're on to a new season, and it's time to put all that in the past and definitely not dwell on that. And that was a big thing for me coming into this weekend, is not thinking about last year other than the things that I feel like I can improve on. I was able to learn a lot last year. I learned a lot of Daytona last year. We made some mistakes last year that I think cost us the championship at the end, and I've got to learn from those things and make sure that I do the best job I can to not put myself and our team in that position again. And I think if we do that, you know, we've started the year off strong, thank goodness, and now we go to one of my favorite tracks next, which is Phoenix. And if we can just carry the momentum forward and take the things that I've learned and I think the chemistry that we have as a team already, especially after yesterday, you know, we'll have a great shot at it.
Just so you know, I'm the nice guy.
Yeah, you're the nice guy.
Yeah, I'm the nice guy. I wasn't going to talk about last year at all.
No,
you know?
I'm
just kidding
his
around.
Oil box. Yeah, you're a nice guy, all right.
Well, we're all here for fun.
I got, Yeah, the amount of times I've been asked about last year or the last couple of days, it's almost an automated response.
I wouldn't doubt it, my friend. But that did, it not only stung, but it stunk at this end, because we definitely followed you all season long. And I got to be honest with you, I was kind of pulling for you, Michael, because you had such an outstanding year. And you know what? You're going to do it this year. If the cards are the way they are, I know there is, you've got the talent, your team has got it, and man, it's going to be outstanding watching you in 2020 all the way through and watch you get this job done. If you were to look into a crystal ball right now, Michael Self, let's look past 2020. Where do you want to be, say, 2-3 years down the road?
That's a hard question for me to answer. I think that, you know, where I want to be in a position where I'm continuing making a living as a race car driver. Now I'm going to turn 30 this year, and so I've come to the point of being realistic and realizing, you know, is it realistic that I'm going to get a call from Joe Gibbs or Rick Hendrick to say, hey, you know, we want you to come drive the Cup car for us? Probably not. I understand that, but I'm doing the best I can with the network that I have and the partners that I have, like Sinclair and Toyota, and just loving where I'm at right now, frankly, getting to race in the Arca Menard series, really enjoying working with those brands and working at this level. And, you know, there was a time when I wasn't racing at all. And so to be racing 20 times a year, even here in the Arca Menard series, that's something that's really cool and really special for me. It's something that I really enjoy doing. So, yeah, would it be great to go run the Xfinity Road Truck Series? Absolutely. You know, that would fulfill my career, I think, if I could ever have a competitive shot at a championship up in one of those series. But I'm very content with where I'm at right now, and I'm just hoping that I can continue to at least maintain this and enjoy it.
Yeah, good on you, Michael, because I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with it either. There's a lot of guys that have made a career racing at ARCA and stayed there and won a ton of championships and very, very accomplished racers, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. When I look at the truck series, for instance, and I see a guy like Matt Crafton, Matt has been a career truck guy, and you know what? He's happy with it. He just loves running the trucks. You, the same sort of way in the Arca Menard series. And you know what? You will get a call because you're the guy that has got the talent. If I was a Joe Gibbs looking for a guy, I'd definitely pick up the phone. And you got to be right at the top of the list to get one of those calls. And I'll bet you one day, Michael Self, you will get that call to jump in that ride, and you never know where it's going to end up. That's the cool thing about you, man. You did a great job at Daytona, and you're going to do a great job the rest of the season. I just know it.
Well, knock on wood, I really appreciate you guys saying that. We'll see. But for now, we'll focus here on the 2020 championship and bringing more wins to Venturini Motorsports, Sinclair, and Toyota, and enjoying it every step of the way.
You want to believe it. Are you going to head out to New Smyrna Speedway tomorrow night and watch the East race, or what are you going to be up to tomorrow night and the rest of the way, or you just go home and get ready for the next race?
I'm home. I got a lot of schoolwork this week. Got some work on the house that I've got to do, get back in my routine. The next track for me is actually going to be, I guess it's going to be Sebring here in a couple weeks for the Trans Am TA2 series. Back with some of my coaching, the guys that I coach that run that series. Always a fun time, always a fun series to be a part of. Always good to get to do some road racing. And so we'll get that and then hop on over to Phoenix. But I know I'll be watching my Venturini Motorsports teammates down there tomorrow night, hoping they can sweep the weekend here.
You betcha, man. Good on you. Congratulations on the win. Can't thank you enough for the time and joining us on Race Time. And good on you, man. You go get ready for that next race, and we'll keep our eye out and save you a seat right here on RTR.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. That's Michael Self, driver the number 25 for Venturini. He is the man. Joey went to victory lane. Good for him.
Yeah, it was a great race and a solid outing, you know, for all of Venturini. A couple notables, you know, he touched on his teammates there. Drew Dollar did a great job.
He sure did.
In the 15 car. Just an outstanding job by you know, a deserving young kid. And as well, Haley Deegan. You know, we can't help but talk about the job that she did, finishing fourth, finishing second in the four car.
Yeah.
Just a great outing by her and showed a lot of prowess out on that racetrack. You know, of course, lost her teammate due to that engine failure with Tanner Gray. But, you know, I think that it would have been, you know, a different ballgame had her teammate been out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Got a quick question here on line six. What's going on there, bud? How you doing?
Bowsy, how's yourself, Joe?
Well, I'm doing good tonight. What's happening?
Your guest at 8:05. I guess you're taping them?
Yeah, we've got guests on, and away we go. Yep,
at
that's what we're doing.
Who's that?
It's Larry.
Oh,
is he qualified as a rookie in APC?
Petey, I am not sure. I am not sure. Larry, you know what? We will find that answer out.
By the way, it snowed in Hickory, North Carolina today.
Ah, really? You're down in Hickory, are you?
I'm in Atlanta right now.
Ah, nice. You got to start heading for New Smyrna, man. It's Speed Week. What are you doing up there? You got to work or what?
Yeah, I'm delivering my rutabagas.
Nice.
Attaboy. Yeah,
that's cool. We will definitely find out if Petey is eligible for rookie status. I think that would be neat okay. If he was. I think that'd be cool if he was.
You betcha. Larry, thanks for the call, buddy.
Okay, take it easy, Joe.
You betcha. Thanks, yeah, good stuff. You know what? We're going to have let's have a quick listen here. I do got a clip with Haley Deegan. Finished the race up second. Let's hear from her. Here she is.
Pretty much at the end there, I was just all I wanted to do was finish. My goal for this race was top three or top five was a victory to me. And so having Michael, I was like, okay, last caution. First of all, I was already just like, please let it go from that last caution before that. I was like, just let it go green. Like, I'm fine with third. Third's good. But then we ended up having that caution, and I was like, oh, my God, Michael's going to take the top. I know Drew would push him behind him. And so I was like, I told my spotter on the radio, I was like, come on, like, think about all the times I've let Michael, like, go past me and stuff for the championship last year. And I was like, I'll help him, I promise. I'll push him, like, I'll let him win. And so that pretty much helped me in the end. I was totally fine with finishing second. I wasn't going to try to do anything to Michael. It's a long season. You have to race against these guys week in and week out. And so it's best to stay on good terms with them.
Well, she did that, Junior. She did a whale of a job behind the wheel of that race car, and she's going to have a good season.
Yeah, for sure. She definitely did a great job. A different ball game. You know, she came out of that Toyota program and now in a Ford program. Cool to see Ford's involvement. And and you know what? I'm going to give a shout-out to both Chevrolet and Ford. It's been a long time since we've seen manufacturer involvement at the ARCA level. You know, at any level for a long period of time. Toyota kind of cornered that market, and Toyota had a huge involvement in ARCA for the longest period of time. Mm. You know, over the last 2 years, of course, the championship in K&N last year was won by a car with Chevrolet all over it.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen Chevrolet accessories out there. We've seen Ford out there with the DGR guys. It's a little bit of a different ball game now. You know, you're seeing the manufacturers step up in the feeder divisions, and you know, it's interesting to me that in the Pinty series you only see Mopar.
Dodge.
You know, it's kind of like the Toyota model. But I hope that the manufacturers, you know, kind of continue to scale up that program and build the base back up, because really for a long time these OEM manufacturers have only focused on the top tier.
Right.
And you know, I think everybody's seeing the success that Toyota is having. Their talent that they have raised through the Toyota program has been second to none. And
they've worked on it, right?
They've worked on it. They've built these kids and you know, they've groomed them. They're good talkers. They're good drivers. They're good, you know, engineering
Everything.
Students.
Yep.
They're, you know, focused on making themselves better all the way around. And Ford and Chevrolet were really lacking there for a long period of time, but we're seeing them on the track again, and that's great.
Too cool. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, Sun Peaks, BC is where Jason White is from. He rolled home sixth in that ARCA race, the Lucas Oil 200. He's going to join us live next from Daytona. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
See, I don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
There's 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Baby, baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to meet you.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Back with you live. Let's fade that out of here. What do you say? We go back to the hotline. And yeah, that says tonight. But I'll tell you what, last night, there was a huge smile on this next guest face. He did an excellent job in the Arca Menards Lucas Oil 200 at Daytona. He drove the number 12 to a sixth place finish. Let's welcome in from Sun Peaks, BC, Jason White. What's going on there, Jay? What a job, man. Good job.
Hey, Joes, how are you?
Doing good.
Awesome.
What a race for you, my friend. You ran one of the smartest races in that field, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, thank you. You know, we went into it, the plan with being smart and being patient, but I can't take all of the credit for that. We actually had some problems that put us to the back of the pack and out of some carnage as well. So we had problems and we overcame them, and then we had some issues as well that put us back to the back of the pack, and we went to the front again. So we did that a couple times, and what a great feeling. It was just an awesome night for sure.
Jay, let's start with qualifying. Man, you stuck it in fourth spot. That had to feel good. You had a good qualifying effort, too.
Well, you know what? Michael Self was pitted just a couple doors down from us there, and he was in my group, and I went over to him, and I just said, look, I'm going to fall in line and just stay nose to tail and hope that we can have a good qualifying run. And he was a man of his word. He said he was going to wait for everybody, and he waited all the way till turn two, right up against the wall until everybody was stacked up, and then he went. And I had two Venturini cars and a couple other really fast cars in my group, and I stuck my nose up underneath the car in front of me, and off we went. And we came down and qualified in fourth, and then the heat really started getting to the track, and the track just started getting slicker and slicker and slowing down. So we got kind of lucky with that too. But yeah, it felt really good to start up there outside the second row. And it got busy in a hurry, man. It got really busy, and things started moving around, and there was a crash right away, and there was a caution, and then we just kind of held our own there for a little bit.
Jason, right at the beginning of that race, you know, you mentioned that it got busy. I can recall, I guess it was lap like four or it was like right at the beginning. It seemed like there was like three consecutive times where you got hung out and your pusher just left you. It just jumped up to the top side and kind of put you into a precarious situation. But then towards the end, it seemed like everybody was more willing to work with you. And that was definitely something that had to have felt good.
It definitely was. And you know, you're right. I got hung out to dry. I got in the sucker hole there in the middle a couple of times. But I was okay with that. I thought, you know, my goal in the morning yesterday was to drop back until I qualified fourth. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm not dropping back now. I'm qualified fourth. I'm going to go for it. So as I was, you know, got put in the sucker hole there, I thought, it's okay. Just breathe. Be relaxed. Just play your game and just let's work our strategy. And I just stayed there. And I would work with whoever would work with me. But I did a lot of going around and trying to make some friends earlier in the day and the day before. I talked to Tad Moffitt and I talked to, you know, like I said, Michael Self and Tanner Gray and a couple of the other guys that were working with me a little bit in practice. And I just reassured them that I am not going to make a stupid move. I've been taught by the people that before I got here that have been here before that if you're going to make rational or irrational moves, you're going to make quick movements, that nobody's going to want to work with you. So I just went around and talked to some people, and sure enough, at the end of the race, I ended up right behind Tad, and I told my spotter, a great cup spotter, Randy was awesome last night, I told my spotter to go talk to Tad and say, oh, the guy that came and talked to you this morning, that's the guy who's behind you, and he's going to stick right there. And that's exactly what I did. And I just wanted everybody to know that I'm here to finish the race first, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Talk a little bit about the value of that, because I know that's a huge part of restrictor plate racing. The politics, you know, you got to have people who like you out there, out on the racetrack. And there's a tremendous amount that the fans don't necessarily see on the back end of kind of courting each other to you know, build that trust and build that rapport all the way from the Cup Series right down to into the ARCA Series, and mainly just on the restrictor plate style tracks. But there's a lot of conversations that take place in haulers and in lounges and in the garage area over the course of a weekend. And you know, with a guy like yourself being a personable guy that can walk up and talk to anybody, there's a tremendous amount of value in that.
I think it really helped me. Honestly, you're right, Joe. I think just being able to, you know, put a face to the name, look somebody in the eye, and say, "Look, man, I'm not gonna wreck you. I'm out there to finish the race, and then we'll see where we go from there." But to be honest with you, with six to go, if I had a pusher, and if I could have got Tad to break to the outside, and I had somebody behind me, we could have went right past that group. But everybody seemed to, you know. The Haley's just parked a couple down from me here, and I talked to her, and she said she was quite content with being behind Michael, and everybody seemed to be content with where they were. So I really needed somebody to push me. Otherwise, there was no point in breaking out. So, yeah, you really got to have the confidence in the people that you're working around. Otherwise, it doesn't do you any good. You know, with about six to go, there was two cars that were outside of Tad and I, and they wouldn't fall in line. They were bound and determined that they were going to get around us, but it was never going to happen. If they would have fallen in line with us, we would have gone way faster to the front, but they just were so boneheaded, they wouldn't move. So you're right. It's just you gotta get these relationships. And I had probably 10 or 11 drivers come over to me last night and say, "Hey, good job. And thanks for doing this. Or thanks for helping out there and all that." So the relationships are building. So the more we do these races, the more the people are going to remember the Canadian guy in the mirror there and saying, "Okay, let's go."
Yeah, exactly. We're with Jason White tonight. He is from Sun Peaks, BC, and he was in that ARCA Menards Series race yesterday, the Lucas Oil 200 at Daytona. Come home in sixth spot, brought Andy Hillenberg's number 11 home pretty well without a scratch on it. He did a whale of a job in the race. And Jay, speaking of relationships, you got to know that every one of those Truck Series guys would have been watching that race that you were in last night. And you will be the talk, and they're going to be able to work with you. Now you're heading into the Truck Series. That has got to pay, you know, some dividends going into that race. That should help out a bit.
Well, there is quite a few drivers that were in the ARCA race last night that will be in the truck race, so hopefully they take notice. But you know how it is. You know, most race car drivers get helmetitis as soon as you get back to the next event. You put the helmet on, you forget everything. So we'll have to relearn some dancing partners. And the deal with the truck is we've got to get here, unload on Thursday. We've got to unload the truck, and we got to go right to qualifying trim, and we got to get that truck as fast as we possibly can in qualifying trim. So I'm not worried about any of that sort of stuff. This is a total opposite of what we did in ARCA. It's going to be get that truck into the race, and then we're worried about drafting after. But I feel with my drafting experience that I've had for the last couple of years now in the ARCA series that I'm really comfortable in the draft now, and I'm not afraid to move around and stuff. So I think although there's a lot of similarities, we're going to go in with a totally different mindset into the Gander Outdoor Truck Series race here on Friday.
Yeah, I was just going to say to you, you've been in both now. You've been in the ARCA series, of course, running the race there yesterday and a number of other races. You've also been in the truck series before. I know they're two totally different looking pieces. Do they feel anything alike when you're behind the wheel?
Well, the truck feels a lot. It feels a lot more unstable, and it feels like it's looser than it really is. They're extremely stable, but they break such a big hole in the air that there's so much air movement, and you know, you just got to get used to that, and you got to listen to the people that are experienced when they say, you know, that truck feels like it's going to spin out and it feels like it's going to get loose, but you just got to keep your foot in, you just got to keep driving it, because it's actually not going to do that. It's going to stick, but you just got to be ready for it, and you got to get that feel. And you know, that actually happened last night when my teammate pounded Haley. Haley went into took him into the outside wall, and he pounded the outside wall and was coming across the track on the back straightaway. And I had to make an evasive move, and I got down at 190 miles an hour on the back straightaway, and I had to yaw the car sideways at 190 miles an hour. And I thought I was done, but I kept my foot in it. For some reason, I just remembered everybody kept telling me, keep your foot in it, keep your foot in it. And I got it sideways, and I corrected it, and I pulled away, and I just thought, wow, these things got a lot of grip.
By the way, my dad and I were both spotting for you in that instance. Yeah,
you should have heard Junior.
I sent you a message.
Of that race.
Yeah, I sent you a message on Facebook right after. But I'm telling you what, we were both spotting for you. We were like, go low, go low, go low, go go. We were screaming at a damn TV. That's how redneck is that?
Yeah,
but
it was
it was definitely a hairy moment. Talk a little bit about how you could see that kind of taking place, because you were basically beside him the entire time while he was coming at you. There was no possible way that you could see in it was like you couldn't have seen him out of the windshield, right?
No,
were you watching out of the?
It happened so fast. It was like a blink of an eye. I saw. He was holding up the bottom line, and he was kind of stalling the outside line a little bit as well because the air was dirty out there. But he was stalling that line up, and there was some really impatient drivers behind him, and I think Haley was a little bit impatient as well. But regardless, she hooked him, and as soon as she hooked him and he pounded, I knew that he was going to shoot back across. But you literally it's a blink of an eye, man. You don't even have a chance. It's just reactionary.
Yeah.
And he kept coming across and across and across, and I kept going and kept going. And like I said, while I had the wheel in it to the left, I thought, I'm done here, my race is over. And then I just corrected it back to the right, and it held. And I got a photo sent to me today. It looks like there's about a paper-thin layer between us that I made her buy there. So it was by the hair of my teeth for sure.
Jay, how was this finish for Andy Hillenburg, the owner of the car? I know you guys had one get wrecked out. Haley Deegan got a little, she wasn't lined up, I guarantee you that, on the replay that we seen. She wasn't lined up, and that 11 car paid the price. So that was one car out of the stable. Then you come along and you bring the car home sixth. How did that line up for Andy? Was that one of his best finishes in ARCA Daytona?
It actually was, yeah, and that's a pretty awesome feather in the cap for the team and myself and everybody. It was unfortunate that Chuck got wrecked there. That was a brand new race car, so nobody likes to see that happen. And you know, Andy's not a high budget organization, so it's really not good for him. But the other car had a transmission mechanical problem with Ryan Huff in it, so that, you know, that's not so bad. We obviously wanted him to do better in his first race, but. For us to come home in the 12 car and get the best finish for fast track racing that they've had in many, many years, and the best finish they've had at Daytona. That's pretty awesome for me, for sure.
Yeah, good for you too. Sponsorship on that car. We couldn't read it real well. At least I couldn't read it. You did get some TV time, but let's go through the sponsorship on that car because I know it means a ton.
Well, I've got my longtime supporter, Rob Zimmer in the yourgmctruckstore.com brand and the Zimmer Auto Group, and then of course Powder Ventures Excavating has always been a great supporter as well. So, we've always got to, no worries about that. We're just thinking about what the next one is and what we can do for some more promotion and try and get more partners involved and do some more of this stuff and maybe one day be trying to qualify for that 500. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you know what? You're not far from it. I can guarantee you that. So what do you do now the rest of the week? You've got Monday to hang around, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday you guys move in. Are you heading out to New Smyrna Speedway? What's the plans?
Well, I was lucky enough to have Larry Jackson was down here with me. He's down here all week. He's going to stay for the trucks. I got my crew guy, Mike Ernst, and my brother, Jim. They're all at Volusia tonight and watching the World of Outlaws and going to do a little bit of watching some racing. But I got the family down here, so we're going to go down to Orlando for a couple days and enjoy that, enjoy the family, and then come back with a whole new perspective. I'm going to enjoy this for another day here, this finish and my best finish in my career and enjoy it. But we're going to come back with the eye of the tiger on Thursday, I tell you, and we're going to be trying to get that truck as fast as possible and trying to get another top 10 and just try and make everybody in Canada proud.
Talk about a bucket list week, really. Like week and a half, 2 weeks for you. You get to watch your like I know how big of a 49ers fan you are. Like you're a diehard. But you get to go to the Super Bowl and watch them, in the Super Bowl. Then you get to go race an ARCA car. You come home, in the top 10, at the coolest racetrack on the planet. Then you get to spend a little bit of time at Disney World, and then you get to drive a truck on Friday. Like you gotta pinch yourself a little bit, right? Like it's the best 2 weeks possible, hands down.
Have you been talking to my wife?
Yeah. He's spotting
he
for your wife.
Reminding me how amazing it's been.
That's amazing. That's hilarious.
Well,
no, it's been awesome, man.
Jay, it proves work hard, you get to play hard. You worked hard and you've earned it.
That's right.
That's right. Work hard, play harder is what I always say for sure.
Well, you're doing a dynamite job, my friend. You're giving Canada lots to be proud of. I can tell you that right now. I've seen a tweet from DJ Kennington, and he was super proud of you. Of course, he qualified for the Daytona 500. He said, Jason, that was awesome, and super proud. Did you see that tweet?
Hey, I did. And you know what? That's one of the most – I actually screenshotted that because DJ's been one of the biggest promoters of my career, and I wouldn't be here, not even close to being here, if it wasn't for him. He's got me lined up with all of these teams down here that I work with and everything that I do in my racing. He's probably the biggest supporter, and I am so appreciative of everything. Even the phone calls the last few days is, two or three times we've talked and he told me this and told me that and told me what to do, what not to do, and just basically one of the biggest things he told me was stay calm and have fun.
Well, you're doing all of it, and you're getting results, and that's so cool. Jay, we appreciate the time tonight on Race Time. Now, Friday, you're going to be in the truck race. You're going to go out there. Are you going to stick around for the 500 and stay there as a fan, or are you guys heading out? Are you going to be home Sunday so we can call you and recap the truck?
I won't be home Sunday. I'll be home Monday. We're most likely going to stick around and watch the 500 and see that that spectacle. It's going to be a good one, I'm pretty sure. If you watch the crash at the Bush crash today, it should be fairly interesting to see what the 500 is like. Hopefully they got that all out of them today.
Yeah, hopefully they have more than three cars to finish the 500. That was something else today. But, man, it's going to be an interesting week, I can guarantee you. It's going to be even more special watching you Friday night under the lights at Daytona, my friend. Good luck in it.
Right on. We'll be in the 33 truck, and we'll be waving that Canadian flag as proud as we can.
You just got to win. That's all you got to do, bud.
Hell yeah. I'll call you from Victory Lane.
Yeah, 10-4. Yeah,
and we'll be ready for it. That's Jason White, Sun Peaks, BC, Daytona. Jay, have fun.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
You betcha. Away he goes. He's in for a good one, I can tell you that.
He is for sure, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And man, he's doing some crazy good stuff down there. And, you know, watching him, you could tell the first time that we seen him, you know, in a truck and in an ARCA car. And, you know, it's the learning curve, right? And the, you know, being tentative behind the wheel. He jumps into the ARCA race, you know, and he went into this race with confidence. Mm-hmm. We talked to him last week, and of course, you know, he went into this race with full-blown confidence, and he made moves out on that racetrack.
He didn't just
fall into a sixth-place finish. He made moves. He actually was strategic, and he jumped into lines that were moving and played the momentum game that you need to do to be successful at
Daytona.
And he
took what the car would give him.
Exactly.
He didn't try and get more out of the car than it would give.
Yep.
And that's key. That's how you get results. You got to be patient. I know you said a couple of times, that number 12 car is no good up on that top lane. He's got to stay down. And sure enough, that's what he was doing. He was staying down.
Yeah.
Nothing was moving. We're going to hit this break. We will be back. Now, Austin McDonald, we will not be having him. He is actually lined up right now at New Smyrna. So we won't be having him on tonight. He's a little tied up. He's doing some racing. But we are going to hit this break. We're going to hear from the Daytona 500 pole sitter on the other side. So stick around. We got lots for you tonight. Stay with us.
You're a troublemaker. Hey, it's Robbie Gordon from Speed Energy and Stadium Super Trucks here in Canada, and you're listening to Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167. From the minute you sat down.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam. Oh, Schaefer Baron, he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Yeah, it was sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight here on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Or just maybe you're listening throughout the course of the week on the Performance Motorsport Network.com that airs Race Time Radio a bunch. Or maybe 98.9 XFM Antigonish, Nova Scotia, that airs Racetime Radio. Or Gearhead Country Radio. Or maybe you're tuned in when you feel like it, and you're tuned in on demand. If you're doing that, I know how you did it. You went through iTunes, and you searched Racetime Radio. You hit subscribe, and you hit like, and presto, you got this show whenever you want to, or get to racetimeradio.com And you can have a listen to it at any time, whenever you're ready to go.
And we're in the development stages of getting a chip implanted into your brain so that you can just listen to it
on
whenever you want.
Yeah.
Good. The chips are going to be crazy expensive, though. we're looking for a sponsor for sure.
Yeah, that's what we'll be doing. Austin McDonald, let's talk New Smyrna Speedway for a bit here, shall we? The World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing is well underway. Tonight is night number 3 of the 9 nights that make up the World Series in the super late models. Austin McDonald is our lone super late model guy, I do believe, from Canada. At least that's all I know of right now that has surfaced. Austin, night number 1. He is from Nova Scotia, by the way. Pictou County, Nova Scotia, out there in Kent, Corbett land. Night number 1, Austin went out there, and he brought that car home without a scratch in 5th spot. So that's saying a lot when you're down there racing against those super guys. And this is Austin's real debut with the super, I do believe, at New Smyrna Speedway. Last year he was down there, but he was in one of the pros. Yep. So he's doing a great job. Now, night number 2, went out qualified in the 15th spot. He hasn't hit the qualifying end of it. He's got the race end of it really, really good. He brought it home, I think, 12th or something like that. It was a rocket fast race last night. Green flag came out, 35 lap race, 2 to go. Caution came out. But that was the only break that they had all night in that race. One quick caution, they went back at it, so you didn't have any time. The guy stretched out pretty good, and that was the end of last night. Tonight, Austin is strapped in. He's going for it already, so we can't get him on the air. I was hoping to get an update with him, but no, he's busy. He did qualify again right around that 15th spot. 21 cars in the Supers tonight, and I can see he is moving up through the field. So yeah. Austin's rolling there tonight.
And notable, a guest that we had on, he said he wasn't going to run full time, but you might see him out there. He's back. Steven Nassi, the 51, showed up down there for tonight's race. So pretty cool. Smaller car counts than we've seen in the past.
Well, so far. And, you got the 100-lapper coming up, right?
Yeah, and there's always a good car count for the 100-lapper. But really, when you look at it, it used to be 26, 28 pros and, 26, 28 supers.
Some years. This year, I can remember it being a lot worse than it
absolutely.
Is even this year.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. But, it's been good.
Yeah, the pro late models, got to put a big shout out to Nicholas Snoggle in the 08 car. Night number 1 in the pros, Nicholas went out and won that race. We heard from him on the show here last week talking about Speed Weeks. He went out and did it. He won night number 1. Night number 2, I want to say he brought it home 8th,
something like
that.
Yeah.
Jerry Artuso, the 5 from Sault Ste. Marie, night number 1, 8th, something, no, 7th, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Top 10. Night number 2, not so good. Jerry went out and he hit the inside back pit wall and destroyed the back end of that car.
The front end.
No,
yeah.
Back end.
No, the front end. Jarek Johnson's back end.
Oh, you're right.
The front end.
Yeah, it was
he also wrecked a truck with the barrel.
Yeah,
he
did too. Yeah,
Jerry Artuso hit a barrel, launched a garbage barrel. I would say a good solid 35 feet, and absolutely destroyed the side of a brand new Chevy truck.
Hit a parked pickup truck in the pits. Hit it in like a 4-door truck. Hit it in the rear door and literally caved it in. Took the window out. The whole shot. So. Big time damage to that guy's truck.
Yeah, definitely.
And
rough deal.
You are on your own when you park on the infield of a racetrack. So
that's what you do in that case is you might want to go find a deer that had been hit.
Yeah, and hang him up right here.
Yeah, just throw a little bit of fur in the busted window.
Yeah, yeah, and then get taken away for fraud too. That's a great idea. But
I'm just playing. We were talking about it last night, man. If that happened,
what would you do?
There's nothing you could do. But it creased the cab corner and everything. So definitely a lot of damage, man.
Yeah,
but we had a great conversation about this. I was watching the races last night with Andrew Grizel, and And, you know, you got to have your head on a swivel when you're at a racetrack.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen.
No, you don't.
And it's not just when you're working on a car. It's not just when you're racing. You know, even on the fan side of things.
Mm.
You just have to.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Dario Capriccio. He is also down at Speed Weeks from Ontario. Dario's had a pair of 17th place finishes thereabouts,
yep.
Getting his feet under him. That's a big half-mile racetrack. And if you haven't been at New Smyrna Speedway, and this is Dario's first trip down there with his car, you got to get your feet under you. You could definitely cost your race car or even get hurt down there. So,
yeah, for sure.
Dario's doing a good job. He's keeping the car clean, getting out there and learning it. Watch for bigger results throughout the course of the week with Dario. And you never know who else is going to show up down there from Canada. I believe there's a Quebec driver down there. But I couldn't pick it up. I looked through all the results and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a disadvantage because I don't know.
Yeah.
These other guys know the names and had them on the show. So,
yeah, for sure.
It's going to be good, though. And that's what happens at Speed Weeks. Things do change throughout the course of the week. Am I keeping you up? Keeping you up there? Yeah.
What?
It looks like you were ready to...
I was going
to
sneeze.
Oh, were you going to sneeze? I thought you were going to yawn out.
No.
I was going to say, am I keeping you up? Yeah, Speed Week so far, and it does, as the week progresses, you never know who's going to show up.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at, you know, towards the end of the week, there's the big Pro Late Model race, which is 50 laps, 75 laps, and then you also have a big 100-lap Super Late Model show, and, the you know, when you look at the names that show up for that 100-lap Super Late.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
the who's who.
It's the who's who. You get some big names. Really, it's interesting, you know, looking at where Speed Weeks is compared to, you know, the big crown jewel events, right, that pay $20,000, $25,000, $70,000 to win these races.
Right.
Speed Weeks isn't that way, right? Speed Weeks has never been that way. It's an opportunity to race 9 nights. And, you know, it's just you're not seeing, you know, the massive car counts that you used to see. And I would love to see a crown jewel event down there during Speed Weeks.
You are going to see some huge car count numbers when the modifieds get in there.
Yes.
And they come in, I don't know whether it's Tuesday night. Maybe it might be Monday night. I know they've got the ARCO East race that's going to happen tomorrow night. But they've also got the modifieds coming in. And I'll tell you what, they're the real deal. I believe there's 37 on the entry list right now. For that. So you're going to want to try. If you're here in Canada, you're going to want to try and tune in. That's another thing that we'll talk about on the other side. But we do have to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and highlights that you may have missed over the last hour. And then we will rejoin you for hour number two tonight on Racetime Radio. I can tell you that we got PD Shepherd coming up in hour two. We've also got Brad Moran. He is the series director in the Gander Truck Series down in NASCAR. So we're going to have both those guests, and we may even have a little bit of time where we can open the phone lines up and take your calls. That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It would be. And, you know, we touched on Austin McDonald. Of course, he finished 12th tonight in the Super Lates.
Yeah, yeah. Good for him.
Yeah,
he had a good run. May won the race.
Yep.
That, you know, a hometown guy. He knows that racetrack.
Oh, man, does he know that racetrack. He's so good there.
Yeah.
It's incredible how good he is there.
And he's been around a while. I think he's raced every year Speed Week since I've been going down there.
Yep.
So he's... definitely one of those guys you got to keep your eye on.
He's a shoe.
He went to Victory Lane once again tonight at New Smyrna Speedway in the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. They still got a bunch of nights left. If you're anywhere close to that Daytona Beach area, you best make your way out there. Throw it back to Scotty in Toronto. We'll be back for hour two in just mere seconds. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM. Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes here on Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167, where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two tonight begins right here on Race Time Radio, Sirius XM Channel 167. I'm Joe Chisholm, and he is Joe Chisholm Jr. You got the pair of us in the RTR studio, and we got a busy hour number two coming at you, but today, Junior, qualifying for the Daytona 500. The front row is set. Are you surprised at who is on the front row?
No.
No.
No. If
no
you
surprise.
Remember, no. If you remember last week when we were talking about, you know, picks going in,
yep.
We were talking with Brad Gilley.
Yep.
Right after that, you know, I kind of touched on GBR, you know, having a little bit of a turnaround. And they haven't experienced that speed influx yet.
Yeah.
They need it. They're searching for it. But my second comment is JTG.
Yeah, it was actually.
You know, I can see the progression of where JTG is going, and the bandwagon is going to get busy.
Yeah.
Because I think that they're going to be, do I think that they're going to win the 500? I don't.
Right.
I think that, but it proves the strength of a team to go out and get the pole for the 500.
Yeah.
Everybody puts a lot of eggs in those baskets.
Well, and you got
to know,
too,
going.
That JTG car is got all Hendrick stuff in it.
Just motor.
Right?
So it's got, they run Hendrick motors, and but then they build their own stuff around it.
Chevy body.
Yep, Chevrolet body, and you know, they use a lot of R&D stuff from the Chevrolet camp. But when you look at it, Ernie Cope, you know, was hired into that team, and they went through and built a phenomenal race team in the back end, and you know, they've hired a lot of good people.
How many years has it been now that they've got the pole for the Daytona 500? We've seen it today. Was it like 5 or 6 years in a row?
Yeah.
That it's been
a
Hendrick pole?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what it was.
I want to say it's 8.
Is it that many?
I think it's 8. But when you look at it, you know, not surprising that JTG found a little extra. And I look forward to seeing what they can put together this year. JTG is, you know, it was always in the talks when Allmendinger drove for them and they were at a road course.
Yeah.
Or a restrictor plate. You know, they've always been good at restrictor plates or road courses.
Right.
I'm saying it right now. I think you're going to see JTG win a race this year on an oval. And
short track.
I think that they've got the potential to win at a short track, and I think that they've got a potential to win at a super speedway as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess everybody does on the super speedway, or pretty well everybody in that pit area. Mm-hmm. Only one that I really seen that was struggling big time was Daniel Suarez. That's the only one that I've seen so far. Good run for Brandon Gaunt.
Yeah.
He is locked
very
in
fast
to the Daytona 500.
They've got quite a little program, that Baird Oil team.
Yeah,
They've got, you know, one full-time employee, and they've got a bunch of volunteer help, but then they've also got a very strong engineering relationship. Brendan Gaughan and his family have been huge supporters of Richard Childress over the years, and, you know, ECR engines and drivetrain and engineering support and everything. So when you look at the 62 and you look at their program, they're going to be strong at every one of these restrictor plate races.
Yeah.
And they have been for the past couple of years. Not necessarily a powerhouse by any stretch, but they're just in a good place.
They can post results. Exactly. This is going to be Brendan Gaughan's final Daytona 500.
Yes.
This is going to be his last kick at the can, so to speak.
Yep.
And he said, I heard him on SiriusXM NASCAR radio through the week. They had Brendan Gaughan on, and he said, we are putting absolutely every emphasis we can on qualifying. We got to get in. I don't want to have to race my way in on Thursday through the duels. I want to lock my car in for the 500 on time, and he did it. They did it today, so good on him. Let's hear from the pole sitter, shall we? Ricky Stenhouse got him in the media center. After qualifying was done, here's what Ricky has to say about the pole for the Daytona 500.
It's the best driving Camaro I've ever driven. So, now it's cool to keep the streak, and, you know, it's something that you don't really think about when, you know, Mr. Hendrick shows up in victory lane, knowing that, you know, we're running his engine package, you know, going to the engine shop and seeing all the guys a couple weeks ago and just saying hey to him. You know, it's something different that I haven't driven. So to keep the streak alive of the Chevys and Hendrick engines on the pole and on the front row is pretty cool, because I know everybody at JTG Doherty Racing has worked really hard this off season, and you know, I think that's what makes it special to me, is knowing that you know, those guys put in the effort, they put in the work. Not only just the work, but they knew exactly what to do to make our cars fast. And, you know, it's a good way to start our new relationship with JTG.
Outside pole and is set for the Daytona 500, the number 88. So good run for him as well, Junior.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Bowman is—he's got to feel a little bit of pressure.
Oh, he's got—I would think he's under enormous pressure.
He's got to feel a little bit of pressure because, you know, he hasn't performed the way that he wanted to, and I think that you're going to see some big things out of that 88 team. If you look, you know, it's not a surprise to see Hendrick running good in qualifying, in the Clash, you know, at Daytona. Where Hendrick has been lacking is in execution across the board. So yeah. I think that there's going to be a lot of really unique scenarios come this year. You know, and I think Alex Bowman is in a position to be the next, you know, king of Hendrick, basically.
Yeah.
William Byron and himself, you know, with Jimmy Johnson stepping away, one of them is going to, you know, surface as the, you know, the natural progression of the Hendrick dynasty. So I think that Bowman has got the talent to be a large force within Hendrick, and I think that you're going to see him turn a big corner in 2020.
Does Jimmy Johnson finish 2020 and his career with a bang? Can he do it? Can he get that final championship? Or do you think Jimmy Johnson is going to go out and just sort of slide away on his final year? I know he's got the potential to do it, but what do you think he's going to do?
I know he's got the potential, but Hendrick needs to rebound completely. And I don't think you're going to know that where they stand until, you know, you get into five or six races down the line. Not to say that they can't even rebound after five or six races. I'm saying,
right,
you know, we're going to be able to see what the off season has brought, you know, for the Hendrick organization, because there's no hiding it. They've been lacking in the speed department. And you know, to see Jimmy Johnson go out and basically be winless in 2019, he's not a favorite by any stretch to win a championship this year. Just judging off of the past history of where,
right,
Hendrick has been at. Now, the changes that they've made to the Camaro, you know, from...
It's going to make all of them better.
It's going
should,
to.
It should.
Should. It should. Should. It should make the Chevrolets better, because the last couple of years have been
atrocious. Well, they needed it.
So,
they needed it.
You know, when you look at, you know, the where Hendrick is going, I think that they're trending upward.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that long ago where Roush was trending downward, you know, and we've seen how long that slump lasted.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, Chris Buescher now in the 17.
Yep.
We've seen Ryan Newman run really good today in that six car, and he has ran good since he got into the six. Yep. Wouldn't it be kind of nice to see Roush make a rebound now and
I think
come back to their old days?
You're going to see that this year.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I'm a
that
firm believer that you're going to see some really nice things out of Roush this year. And
it's got to be harder today to win a championship than when Jimmy won his championships and he stacked all of them up. I would think it would be harder to win the championship today. And the reason I say that, the first 26 races, you can do it, and it's point-style racing and everything else. You go out and, you could have a real good points lead, what have you. But then the chase format sort of takes over, and now you got to win to stay in. And, I don't know. I think it would be a lot harder today. There's more, shall I say, luck involved in winning that championship than what there used to be back in the day when it was a full point series from this point to the end of the season.
Yeah, really, when you look at all of Jimmy's, they've came under the chase format, right? The way that Jimmy kind of laid out his career is he changed the model like seven times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, but really, when you look at it, sure, you can. I love when somebody says that there's more luck involved than winning the championship now, but you put four guys with the opportunity to win at Homestead, or, well, at Phoenix this year, but
right,
you have four guys that have the opportunity to go out and win the championship, and they have to beat each other to do that. There's no luck involved in that.
No.
There's absolutely no luck involved in beating three other guys and the rest of the field to go out and win the championship. So I just think that it's more pressure-packed, and you are correct that it's harder to win in this model.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that the luck portion is something that is part of the championship, because really bad luck has always been a part of racing.
Yeah.
And good luck has always been a part of racing, but you have to be good to be lucky.
Yeah.
So
you got to have them both. That's for sure. Let's go to the hotline and let's welcome in. Oh, look at this. East Coast time. What's going on there, Kent? How are you?
Not bad, boys. Did you watch that clash today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The crash or the clash? I guess the clash, the crash and the clash. Yes, we did. Yeah.
Either or, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say that was entertaining.
It's going to be interesting when they have 40 cars out there next week.
Yeah, it should be. Next Sunday should be a barn burner. I don't know if you'll see that much action, but it was incredible, to say the least, today.
I think coming down to the end of it, you're going to see some more of them crashes, going for the checkers, right?
Yeah, everybody wants to win, that's for sure.
There was a great interview, Kent, by Brad Keselowski, walking out of the infield care center, and it's on social media, it's floating around. I believe it was Dustin Long that posted it, just on the anger that he had getting out of that car,
yeah,
and really throwing his teammate under the bus on making stupid moves out on the racetrack. But it's incredible to see everybody making these boneheaded blocks, the way that they make the blocks today,
yeah,
or attempt to, man, it creates carnage. And, but the, on the flip side of that coin, if you don't attempt to make those blocks, there's no possible way to stay up front.
Yeah.
So it's such a hard deal.
It is tough deal, really. So what have you thought? You've been watching the World Series or catching up with it on social media? What's been going on?
It comes to the closing factor of these cars. There was a few of them after the crashes there today saying that, all right, last year the closing factor was tremendous. And this year with the, I forget who they interviewed, but they interviewed somebody during one of the red flags there at the end of the race, and they said that these cars have probably 100 more horsepower than what you need to use on the restarts, and the closing factor is just tremendous, that when they're trying to do these blocks, They can't react fast enough for the way the cars close.
Yeah. It's got to be tough. Who are you going to take for Thursday? Who are you going to take for the 500? Make your pick.
Oh, it's just some of my favorites out there the more. I like Carl Edwards and a couple of the other boys, but I think you'll see the restrictor plate races are so hard to pick a winner because somebody that keeps their car, well, as you've seen today, it doesn't even have to be clean till the end of the race. As long as they're on track, they all have a chance.
Yeah.
And, keeping up with the World Series, watching on social media there. It was too bad that NBC, SN, and Sports Gold, and whatever the issue is there, the Canadians can't subscribe. Like, the grandstands aren't full, so I don't know who's going to be paying the bills at New Smyrna, but it's a shame that people that can't get there at least can't get access when they want it to the races and are going about and trying to get other feeds.
Yeah, it's crazy. I got to admit and I got to agree with what you're saying. This NBC Track Pass, man, I wish they'd just put it back to Speed 51 where we can actually get the coverage. It would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's just because they are a TV conglomerate that the CRT, like some people were blaming the CRTC, that they, the ones, are not allowing it to happen in Canada because NBC is an actual TV thing, where Speed 51 was an online platform with Fans Choice TV. However that works, I think the track is the one that is probably losing, because I would think that they would get some of that revenue, or I thought that they would, or I hope that they would get some of that revenue. And they're not getting none of it. So,
well, last year when it was fanschoice.tv, that wasn't paid for. That was free coverage.
Yes, but the Fans Choice, they had other things that you could purchase throughout the season. And that's why I suspect that it was a track-based format last year, being hosted by Speed 51 and then therefore having the other races throughout the season there and elsewhere around the Northeast and Eastern Seaboard, right? They had all kinds of different weekends where you could purchase packages, right?
Yeah, through Speed 51, yes, but fanschoice.tv was always free. Everything was free on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kent, it's...
I can't wait till our local racing season kicks off here. We got three good events going to be at Riverside. We're missing the fourth. Again, that's another thing I can't understand. Pinty's being a national series, they're not national. But anyways, we can talk about that again. Nasty was in fifth tonight, and Austin Compone 12th. So another good showing for the Nova Scotian and the East Coast boys. And
absolutely.
Noggles coming up. They raced the last race of the night. The sportsmen are on there right now.
Yeah.
Then the pros come up later. So
yeah, it's going to be dynamite. I can guarantee you that. Kent, thanks for the time tonight, buddy.
Talk to you later, boys.
You betcha. That's Kent out on the east coast of Canada. He's definitely tuned in to the World Series and to all the Speed Week action. Big race fan.
Absolutely. Huge race fan. And, looking... he touched on it on the Pinty side, not going out there to Riverside.
Yeah.
And, I mean... there's a lot of hurt feelings about that.
Oh,
there's a
guaranteed
tremendous amount of people that that love that race, I would say that I still have to call it a national series, and I'm not saying it for any other reason other than it still races in multiple provinces across
back to Alberta.
Exactly. So it still covers a large segment. NASCAR, the Cup Series, it doesn't race in every state, and it's a national deal. When you look at it, it is a tough deal.
It's Pinty's loss, man. That's flat out. It's Pinty's loss. I feel bad for the race fans that did enjoy the race out at Riverside, but I'll tell you, when you look at the size of the grandstand, how many people were in it, it affects some race fans, But it, when I look at profit loss or if I look at lose gain, I'm going to have to say Pindy's is the one that's going to lose on this deal.
I would agree with that. You know, when you look at the races that the Pinty series goes to where the grandstands are full, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that it was as much as, you know, the track and the series and everybody wanted it to be a big success out there, I never seen the grandstands jammed for a Pinty's race out there.
Why? It was like eight races, Junior. You didn't have enough cars to generate it.
No, but that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
They needed
to have more cars.
If the teams can't afford to go all the way out there,
yeah,
they're not getting a full grandstand anyways. It's kind of a moot point because it was a difficult deal for everybody because you couldn't fill the grandstands. You couldn't fill the racetrack. You couldn't, you know.
Bring the cars. You'll fill the grandstand.
It's easy to say, my friend,
have seen that grandstand full a number of times.
Exactly. I'm not saying anything negative about it. And the reason why it's full is because there's a tremendous amount of competition on the racetrack.
Yeah, well, there's a race.
Exactly.
There's a race.
So when you look at it, I think that as much as it is, it's a good move for the Pinty series to regroup and try to build again. And you know, kind of every company needs to, you know, it needs to retract in order to grow.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think that adding a couple races in Ontario and deleting the Nova Scotia and the New Hampshire dates.
Yeah. Yeah.
It helps everybody. It makes the team stronger. It makes the series stronger because it takes about $40,000 of budget away they would only, if they won both those races, they would only win a grand total of 12 grand.
It didn't make any sense to me why they would go to New Hampshire anyway. It honestly didn't. That was more for the racer, I guess. The 1 mile track, yeah, it's a good idea that the guys would love it. Mm-hmm. But from a business perspective, across Canada, no, I can't agree that it was a good idea to send it down south of the border that far. I keep it on this side of the border. Put it in another Canadian city.
Yeah.
That would have made more sense than going to New Hampshire on a one-mile track when you're talking about expense.
Yeah.
Look at the expense that would have cost. It would have been crazy, but we have to hit a break.
But we're applauding something that they're doing by adding Ashwiken. That is something that's huge.
Oh, yeah. No.
And it's going to be a massive race, and it's going to be a massive event.
That's a good idea.
So I
agree with that.
You know, I say hats off to them for doing that.
Well,
so
hats off on one hand and a slap in the head in the other.
Exactly. Yep. That's
okay. It happens. Got to hit this break. When we come back, we're going to have P.D. Shepherd. He's going full tilt in APC competition. He's going to drive the number 22, and he's going to be with us next. Stay with us.
I'm Core of the Joy, driver, whatever you want to put me in, to listen to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to meet you.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. Oh.
Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning man.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. We're going to go right back to the hotline, and we're going to bring in our next guest. A big release came out just at the end of last week. And I'll tell you what, welcome news to say the least. This is cool stuff. Driving the number 22, at least I believe it's the 22, in the APC Series presented by Grisdale is going to be a name familiar to Canadian race fans from coast to coast. His name, P.D. Shepherd. How about this? We got him on the hotline. Pete, what's going on? How you doing?
Not too bad, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, this is great news, buddy. You're going to go full tilt in APC. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and getting a full season under my belt is going to be something that's going to be fun for everybody involved, the family and all the supporters, so we're really excited to do it.
Hey, first question for you on this, Petey. We had a call. Larry called in. He said, is Petey going to be a rookie in this series? do you have any APC races under your belt?
I ran three last year. Two years ago. It was two races at Jucasa and then the Delaware race was my first start. So I have three under my belt. I don't know how that really works, so I'm not too sure how they'll classify that.
Wouldn't that be cool if you could come in and run for rookie status? You know what? Hey, on the East Coast of Canada, believe it or not, Gary Elliott has moved out there. He's going to jump into the Parts for Trucks Tour. Gary has not ran any more than two races with him, one race with him, and now he's going to be able to go for Rookie of the Year.
Well, that's pretty exciting. It makes an entertaining rookie battle, that's for sure.
I would say that would be cool if you become a rookie or can run for rookie status in the APC series. A little, it'd be a little crazy because you've been in everything from a Silver Crown car to a truck to you name it, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, all these challenges for sure. The biggest thing I think is just, not being in a car for, well, being in a car, but not being in a series full time since 2004. I guess I am a rookie when it comes to racing, full-time thing like that. It's going to be different the way you're going for the wins every single race, but at the same time, you're running for a championship. So it'll be exciting, and I will be a bit of a rookie or having to get reused to that again.
You touched on it. 2004 was the last time that you ran full-time for a championship, like for points? Because I was thinking back, openly a couple days ago when I seen the release, and I don't remember you running for a championship outside of All-Star. That was a long time ago, but that was the last time that I remember you running and completing the entire season in something.
Yeah, no, that's correct. We ran All-Star in 2003 with you guys, and then after that in 2004, we won Rookie of the Year in the Cast Car Super Series.
That's right, too.
So yep. That would have been the last full season. But you're right, going back to that first, the only late model point championship I ever ran for, aside from a home track title, would be the All-Star Series. But even going back to home tracks, I raced 1 year at Flamborough Speedway in the late model division for a championship. That really was it, other than that. So really exciting to get, I guess, the third kick at the can at running a full season.
Absolutely.
But, it's going to be a lot of fun.
So talk a little bit about the late model side of things. Obviously, you raced a couple years back, and you've dabbled in super late models, in pro late models. You've been behind the wheel of everything. Are you noticing a big learning curve on where late model racing has went to on the mechanical side, is there anything that's catching your eyes that is shocking you about where late model racing is today?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when I took that little bit of a hiatus when I came back to racing after I think it was 4 or 5 years was just how good the cars are and how much grip there really is. it's hard to over horsepower the amount of grip you get. I know when we ran with you guys a long time ago, we had those 8-inch tires on and they weren't even slick. So a lot of car control developed, a lot of horsepower back then. I think that they've maybe kind of maybe remained with the same amount of horsepower roughly, but the cars have just gotten so much better. So it's so important to be on and, you know, getting to the gas before you're comfortable to pick up all that speed. So there's a lot of different things for sure, a lot of training, because you got to be confident when you get to the gas that it's going to be there, and most of the time it is. So it's just a matter of testing your courage in those cars now.
It's funny, those all-star cars, when you look at that compared to an APC car today, you're talking the difference between, I don't know, a sportsman car and a super late model. Today, those APC cars, I know they're called pro late models, but man, they're every bit of a super template style late model that you could ask for.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, proof's in the pudding. A lot of guys will go down south and they'll drop the super late model crate motor in them. A few minor changes, obviously, but they're right there on the speed charge. So there's not much to them when it comes to the actual difference anymore, other than, I guess, swapping those motors out and a couple other little things. You know, there's definitely different chassis types and everything, but the cars are so good now that it's incredible.
Tell us, Pete, about the 22 that you're going to be in. The actual car itself, sponsorship, are you all deckled up? And you got to be excited for the year. This is great news.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. You know, like I said in the release, myself and the folks at APC, we were putting this together around Christmas time, and there were a lot of moving pieces that I think just worked in everybody's favor. So we're really excited to have APC on board, Total Lubricants, London City Chrysler. Just like I said, a lot of people involved are really excited to be back at the track every week, and we're going to do our best to compete for a championship. And, you know, there's work to be done for sure, but it's just, I think it's a really, really good deal for everybody involved.
How cool is that? Petey, finally, we got full sponsorship on a car, and you in your seat, your butt in a seat behind the wheel for a full season. I'm telling you what, fans are in for a treat. This is really going to be cool. The competition in that APC series is just over the top. The bar keeps going up every year. The 22, so that will go to your shop, and you will prepare it each week, you and who have you got as a crew?
Well, that's still not finalized. We know that we're going to have a deal together, and we're going to be running a McCall car one way or another for sure. That's something that we've always had a lot of faith in each other and worked with Mike a long time. So we're going to be definitely going with McCall chassis, and there's still some logistics to be worked out, but we know for a fact that we're going to have a car, and we're going to compete for the championship, and we'll be there every week. So we're just, like I said, there's still some moving pieces, but we wanted to get something out before Daytona, and it's all finalized. We're just going to make sure that we have everything together before we, you know, move forward with, we're saying exactly what it's going to be, what year the car is going to be. We're still working on some of that stuff.
That's wild. Listen to the names, right? Brandon Watson has committed now. You know, I've seen a release. He's back full-time in the APC series.
That's good.
You know, Petey Shepard, J.R. Fitzpatrick, you know, Andrew Grizel, Matt Perdigo. The list is going to go on and on and on. But, you know, it's so intriguing to see the talent level and the diverse backgrounds in the APC Tour right now. Like, there is so much experience in so many different styles of race cars. It's ridiculously amazing. And talk a little bit about the feedback that you're getting. Obviously, you've been working in this sport a long time, but you've guaranteed had a good reception so far from the release and from the news coming out. But talk a little bit about the reception from some of the competitors or some of your friends that are within the industry. There's got to be lots of pumped up people in your corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when I came back and I decided to go APC after, like I said, my hiatus, I had a lot of people come up to me and approach and say, you know, you've been doing it for a long time, but I never got a chance to race against you before. So, you know, I think I earned a lot of respect when I came back, and you know, it was a lot of fun racing with a lot of different faces. I guess one of the first texts I received after I made the release was my old buddy J.R. Fitzpatrick, one of my best buddies for a long time. And, you know, we had a lot of battles going back a long time. And from the cast car days, even before that, we were both young and we're both middle children of the racing generation. Both of us raced against a lot of guys who aren't doing it anymore. I mean, I had the pleasure of racing against Junior Hanley at New Smyrna one year. So, I mean, I think that, that was pretty big when he texted me. It was pretty fun to reignite that rivalry and have some fun to get to the racetracks again.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to drive a four cylinder ever when you're around JR.
Yeah.
I, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that on air, but we just did. And I just got to say, on the four-cylinder side, we just keep you both away from a four-cylinder, and we'll all be good and safer for it.
Yeah, you can't hold one of those wide open around Flambeau Speedway. No.
Just for the record.
Just for the record.
So now we've got to talk about it. And I don't think that we've ever talked about it on air, have we? Do you know the story that I'm talking about? You know the story.
I'm well aware.
But I don't know if we've ever talked about it on air.
No, I don't think so.
There's been a lot of years kind of in between, and we've all done stupid stuff when we were younger. So, I mean, you may as well just man up and let's dive into this topic. Take us back to that day and kind of inform the listeners of what we're talking about. I don't want to overstep.
Yeah, no, so a lot of the details are blurry, maybe because I hit the wall so hard, I'm not sure, but it was like, I think, JR, he had an old Toyota Celica four-cylinder, and we took it to the track, and we were trying some different shock combinations, and we were getting closer and closer every lap to being able to get it on the pin and get it around, and I think that he breathed a little bit the session before me, and just us, with our competitive nature being a one-upper, I thought I could do it without breathing it, and it was coming off of four, I believe. Started to get a little bit of wheel hop in the back end. The back end was bouncing around a lot, and I probably should have lifted, but I didn't want to, and lifted it up and kind of hooked it on the right rear, and I nosed it in down the front straightaway. But I drove it back to the pits. We got it there, and he had a pretty dejected look on his face, and that was the end of that car.
Yeah. Okay, give me another one. Let's try that again. Take two.
I've never had more fun, you know, than standing in a circle. You guys told me that story. It was at Delaware Speedway, and it was, of course, in the campgrounds. There was a couple bevvies going around, and hearing that story come out, and I hadn't heard it. In the past, but definitely a lot of fun, and there needs to be more of that type of thing in racing where there's a fun story attached to it on the back end, just without the carnage, right?
Yeah. With nobody getting hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't try this at home.
No, exactly.
Petey, you're going to go to Flamborough Speedway, your old home track. You'll visit there with the APC Series. Of course, Sauble Beach, you'll be there. Sunset Speedway, Jukasa. You're going back to iconic tracks that you really cut your teeth on. Excitement levels probably for every one of them.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, a lot of these places, Sauble Speedway, I haven't been there since, 2003, I guess. I haven't turned a single lap on that track. So you think of some of the testing we have to do, and we have to pinpoint certain places to get to just to make sure that, you know, I remember that. Probably like riding a bicycle, like everybody says, but it's just a matter of getting back and saying, oh, yeah, that's how you do that, right?
Yeah.
Haven't been there in a long time. Sunset Speedway, I've ran one race on it since they've redone it a couple of years back in a super late model. So there's a lot of places that I have run a lot at, like Delaware, Jukasa. Probably have more laps than Jukasa than anybody since they've repaved it. But there's also a lot of places where I haven't been in a long time, so. It's a matter of getting good testing in, getting good feedback. I'm going to be working closely with Joe Lawrence a little bit too. So he's a really good guy, a good fellow to bounce stuff off of. Rookie of the year this past year. So we'll be doing some testing. We'll get things together, make it right. But yeah, there's a lot of places I'm super excited to be back to because it's been so long, and there are places that I want to hit up again, and I'm excited about it.
Well, so cool. You know what? If there's anything that you forget about Sauble Speedway and you got any question at all, I think you're just going to have to turn to dear old dad, because I believe your dad could drive that racetrack even today blindfolded and still win races. I'll tell you what, he was magic at that place.
Yeah, you know, yeah, there's lots of good stories. You know, things have been coming up. Obviously, my dad's excited as well, and whole family. My wife put a lot of work into getting this together, so thanks to Brittany for that, for sure. But I think there was a year back in the 80s, late 80s, or early 90s, where they used to run Delaware Friday nights, Flamborough Saturday nights, and Sauble maybe was Sunday. I can't remember what it was, but he ended up coming home with three championships in 1 year, one at each place, so Delaware, Flamborough, and Sauble. So that's pretty special, but... Yeah, he always got around there really good. Sometimes the tighter the track like that, the better he was. He was an impressive driver, and you know, I'm not going to let him out in any hot laps because you never know if he, you know, puts a lap down like that. It's going to be hard to top, so I don't want to get him in the car too often, that's for sure.
Yeah, he'll want to get back in. Don't worry, Sharon will stop. She'll put a stop to that right quick.
I'm sure she would, yeah.
Yeah, incredible. Petey, we appreciate the time tonight, and tell you what, this is truly great news. Fans, their ticket value, the amount they're going to get for the money they pay at the gate just went up. I'll tell you that. It's going to be cool to see you back in a car full tilt, the number 22 APC machine, and Petey Shepherd's going to be in it. Petey, thanks so much for the info, and thanks for the time tonight.
Thanks, both of you guys. You do a heck of a job, so thanks for putting me on the show again.
You bet. That's Pete Shepherd. Watch for him. Another great reason to follow the APC series presented by Grisdale.
Deep, deep, deep talent pool.
Oh,
it's
huge.
It's just going to be huge. You know, off the charts. And you know, we're hearing rumblings, you know, from a few other names as well. You know, and really unique partnerships that are being formed, you know.
Yeah.
Another piece of information that, you know, that came out, you know, just recently, Blair Wickett, the 97 car.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Blair Wickett. It's either the 97 car, one of the 97s.
Okay.
Taylor Holdaway is going to be the crew chief for them.
Oh, really?
You know, just hearing stuff like that, there are so many really unique partnership storylines heading into the series. I think it's Blair Wickett. I don't know. But anyways, you know, you're seeing, you know, some big names come up. It's just going to be an incredible season. I bet there's going to be 35 cars at night number one in the APC series.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully. Yeah. It's just,
I think that's where it's going to be.
It makes it so worth it. I'll tell you, Luke Ramsey and the crew, the job that they have done with this series just continues to continue. It just gets better and better. And the teams, like, it all works as a unit, right?
Exactly.
You take one piece out of this and you don't have a puzzle anymore.
Yep.
You just got a bunch of pieces. These guys are all working as a unit, and it just keeps getting better, and that's cool. We're going to hit our final break. When we come back, what do you say we talk about Gander Mountain Truck Series racing? It's coming up at Daytona on Friday, and to do that, we have got the Truck Series director, Brad Moran, is going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
And a finger came out the side window, and I don't know which finger it was, whether he was pointing me inside or not, so I went inside. Hey, race fans, it's the 82 Fortinos Dodge, Dave Conley from Ottawa, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. Check us out at a local school. Go to fuelforkids.ca.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
perfect! Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Race Time Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. So glad you could tune in. Man, Speed Weeks 2020 is here. I want to remind everybody, as we're waiting to hook up with Brad here on the hotline, I want to remind everybody, television-wise. Now, the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing from New Smyrna is on NBC Gold Track Pass and not available in Canada. I don't know why. It's another one of those mysteries that, I'll tell you what, they're missing the boat because there's a lot of Canadian race fans up here that would want to have the coverage, not just of the World Series, but they're going to have quite a bit of real good programming on there that Canadians would want to, you know, be part of, be able to buy into. But nevertheless, it is not available in Canada, so maybe contact them. Let them know if you want the coverage. It's got to be more than just a handful of us. Let NBC Sports know if you want the coverage.
I want to remind
you that Legend Nation.com, get there. The U.S. Legend Cars, Yannick's Legend Cars Winter Nationals fires up tomorrow. And it's going to go all week long, too. And you can get coverage of that. Get to pitrowtv.com or legendnation.com. Tim Terry is going to be part of that. You would have heard the show last week. Tim is down there. They're set. They're ready to go. And I do believe it fires up tomorrow. It could have started today, actually. Yeah. But that I'm not sure of. But I know it'll be on tomorrow. So you can get to that. And, yes, you can watch that here in Canada and, of course, across the United States. Then TSN is going to have most of the coverage from Daytona International Speedway. FS1 is where you're going to head if you want the track series. That's coming up on Friday night. They will have the duels on Thursday. I guess TSN will have it. I don't know for sure. I would imagine. I know one year they had it, but it was tape delayed. It's a crapshoot. I have no idea. But when it comes time for the Daytona 500, of course, TSN will have that or should have that. I shouldn't say will, because I've been wrong many times. The Xfinity Series, that will be on TSN, or at least it was last year. Hopefully it is again this year. And that's got everything.
Yeah, for sure. I will say this, we've had, you know, a tremendous amount of conversation about the NBC Track Pass portion.
Yeah.
If you, and it's, there's a very reputable company that, you know, you see their ads all the time on CNBC and CNN and all of that. It's called NordVPN, N-O-R-D-V-P-N.
Oh, yeah. VPN.
If you go to NordVPN and you set up your own private network, it allows you to watch TrackPass.
Oh, so it gets you around the law.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go.
But it
too bad we got to cheat as Canadians to get it, right?
No kidding. But NordVPN is something that a lot of people use, and it is basically just creating a private network, and you are eligible then to purchase the track pass and watch it from here in Canada.
Well, let me also tell you that bar none, if you want any kind of live coverage, you can always go to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, and they are going to have all your truck races, Xfinity and Cup, all season long. They will have live flag-to-flag coverage with great pre-race and post-race coverage. You can count on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio to have full coverage. That I can guarantee you. But let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And welcome in the Truck Series director, the NASCAR Gander Truck Series director. He's Brad Moran, and we got him on the hotline. Brad, how you doing, my bud?
Hey, Joe, how you doing? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it sure has. Haven't seen you since CTMP when you guys were north of the border here. Are you all ready to go for another great season in the Truck Series?
Yeah, we are. It's everything's looking great. You know, we're going to have a great field of trucks coming to Daytona. I think we're going to end up with 42 of them, and just a lot of changes. GMS is back with four trucks, and, you know, Crosley and Gill and Crosley has switched over to Ford, and it's just it's an exciting year. I mean, I got to figure everything out with all these changes and manufacturers and new drivers, but we're looking forward to a real strong year.
You gotta love it. You guys roll into Daytona International Speedway come Thursday. At least the trucks will. They'll go in, and I guess they start, Brad, with a safety check and roll through Tech Lane a couple of times to get ready to go for practice. And I guess that'll start on what, Friday?
We open up on Thursday, and we'll do an inspection. Super speedways always take a little longer. You know, there's just more to look at. You know, we'll do that, and they'll be on the track late afternoon, early evening, for a couple practice sessions, and then we'll inspect them all over again for qualifying on Friday morning, and qualify them in the afternoon and get racing under the lights.
You know, Brad, I've said it a number of times on this very program, and I mean it right from the heart. A lot of years, the best racing at Speed Weeks, bar none, is the Truck Series. You guys do an amazing job at Daytona and all the other racetracks that you go to. But at Daytona, you guys punch such a big hole in the air. It just creates good racing, and you always end up with a lump of trucks, and they are changing positions for the lead. It's got to be rewarding when you sit back and watch the race and watch it all unfold. All that hard work you guys do to make sure these guys can go has got to pay dividends, and we see it every time at Daytona.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks. Thanks, Joe. The guys, the teams are just very professionals. They're top-notch. You know, we bring young kids in with just a ton of talent. You know, it seems like we lose four or five a year, and four or five new ones are there to fill the positions the following year. The races are short, and you've got it going between the young rookies and then the veterans that we have with Trotter and Crofton and, you know, Hensinger. It's a great mix, and it usually leads to just a great, entertaining race for the fans.
So this year, of course, going to be another spectacular season in the trucks. You guys are coming back to Canada again, CTMP. I believe it's the Silverado 250 again this year. But that Truck Series race coming into Canada is always a special one for fans to come and see.
Yeah, we end those years with pretty exciting. Last year was more like a normal race finish, but I'm sure we'll make up for it this year. So when we have our hard races in town, we're usually that's a great race for the fans. So we like the excitement. Me and you go back long ways. Trying to put our exciting races back in the day, and we still try to do it today. So, these trucks just lead to pretty exciting racing, and again, there's just the stages and the races being short. These guys got to get up and go with the stage points on the line, and the wind getting in the playoffs. I mean, the competition is just so tough. You got to take everything you can get.
Exactly. So, Thursday, you guys roll them through Tech. They're going to get on the track. They're going to practice, and then, of course, Friday is the season opener for the Gander Truck Series. Brad, what's the mixture this year, or somewhat of the ratio, veterans to rookies? Is rookie crop like 25% or thereabouts, or what are we at this year for rookie crop in the trucks?
Yeah, I mean, we get, each and every race, we get a lot of part-time crews that come in with rookies, but we're usually about anywhere from 25. Some races, actually, we do rookie meetings with up to 18 drivers, believe it or not. I mean, we have to drive a meeting in with rookies. So this year, we're going to have a strong crop. Obviously, we got Lassard going to be driving the KBM truck. Christian Atkinson, both rookies of the year. We got Tanner Gray going to be in a Gilliland truck running for rookie of the year. Zane Smith, so a lot of development drivers running for rookie of the year. Now we have them come in and out throughout the season across the country, and as well, obviously in Canada.
Absolutely, Brad. During the race itself, obviously you're the director, and you're kind of the go-to guy for all the teams, to get answers. But during the race itself, what is your role? So everybody listening out there, I always get a kick out of on the director side. You guys have your hand in basically everything from the day that the haulers roll in to the time that the haulers leave. Everything kind of goes through you, correct?
Yeah, my role is obviously I manage the series. I try to make sure all the teams are well informed. We get all the information out for them on the event. We, you know, obviously make decisions on the amount of tires and just everything from traffic flow and safety of our competitors. I do a lot of that from the garage, you know, during the day, and look after the rookie meetings, obviously conduct the drivers' meetings, really just to make sure everyone understands all our rules at every track we go to. Come race time, or even during qualifying, make any decisions, any real decisions that might come up during that time. And once we get in, you know, into race time, basically up in the tower, I'm on what we call the go-to channel. It's kind of a private channel that goes to all the officials. I'm working beside the race director, which is talking to the spotters, and the one that most people would hear if they're on a scanner. That goes to all the teams, talk to the spotters. They do the lineups and all that. We're side by side, and then the scoring and some other folks up there as well. And I kind of just, you know, quarterback a lot of what happens up there. You know, anything on pit road, any questions that come up from officials on pit road, corner workers. Control the caution, vehicles getting in and out of the, in and out onto the racetrack, and racetrack that you deal with the cleanup. So more or less just kind of manage the entire event. And, you know, hopefully at the end of each event, we've done a good job when we're not talked about too much. That's a good day when they're talking about the race and they're talking about the competitors. And we try to keep it that way, but, you know, our job, unfortunately, we have to follow our rules. We set out, and sometimes, you know, we do become a bit of a storyline, but we never like to be in that position.
Yeah, well, you know what? You got the hard job, Brad Moran. You guys have to enforce the rule book. The other guys just, it seems like every now and then they forget that rule was written in, even though you talked about it in the driver's meeting. They happen to have missed that little piece. but you guys get the luxury of enforcing it, and I'll tell you what, you do a dynamite job with it, because every year that truck series just gets a little tougher. And I'll tell you what, that this year's going to be no exception. Friday night, under the lights at Daytona International Speedway, going to be one of the best races of Speed Weeks once again this year. And I know we are looking forward to it. It's going to be right off the hook. Brad, we've enjoyed the time tonight on Race Time. We sure do appreciate it. And we'll be tuned in, buddy. I can't wait for this year to kick off. It's going to be something spectacular.
Yeah, well, thank you, Joe, and all your fans. I hope everyone does enjoy the Gander RV and Outdoor Truck Series races throughout the year. I tell you, I think we're going to have 17 to 20 trucks that can win on any given race, so please tune in. Obviously, we'll see you in Canada if you get to any races before that. Make sure you ring me up, and we'd love to have you, and just enjoy the race. It's about to get real here.
Absolutely. Brad, thanks so much for the time. Be safe. We'll see you for sure at CTMP, and we'll be tuned in Friday night.
Looking forward to it, Joe. Thank you so much.
You betcha. That's Brad Moran, the series director for the Gander Mountain Truck Series. They're going to be, it's going to be, Joe, always my favorite race of Speed Weeks. Normally is.
Hands down, for sure. The way that the Truck Series races, you know, it's a shorter race. You know, everything is compact.
Yeah. It's a sprint race, really.
It is. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure to gain your track position from the drop of the green flag. There's no riding.
No.
You know, there's a little bit of strategic, you know, placement within the race. But, you know, everything happens very quickly. And that's what's exciting about it. Obviously, the trucks at a place like Daytona or Talladega, you mentioned it, they poke a huge hole in the air. You know, you drive behind a semi truck down the interstate and, you know, the hole is huge.
Oh, yeah. You just pull in behind that truck and hang on.
Exactly. But if you pull in behind a Volkswagen, it's not.
Right.
So, you know, when you race those trucks, they poke a huge hole and they create these closing rates that are unheard of, and just amazing racing.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. Can't wait for it to come up on Friday night. It's going to be those trucks under the lights. Then Saturday, you've got the Xfinity Series kickoff. And then, of course, Sunday, the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. Can't forget about Thursday, the duels. that will set the starting grid for the Daytona 500. You got two races there. They take the field. They split them into two races. This race will start the inside line. That race will start the outside line. And that is the makeup for your Daytona 500. And, of course, New Smyrna, you've got the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. And then, of course, Volusia County Speedway. Still a whole pile of nights left for dirt racing. We'll get to more of it next week on the show. We'll have more results. We'll have more winners. And we look forward to it. And we'll have the results of the Daytona 500 in our hands. We'll be able to talk about it right here on Racetime Radio. But that's going to do it for us tonight. We sure appreciate you tuning in. And you have yourself a safe week. Get down to Florida if you got time. If not, keep it tuned to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and right here to SiriusXM Channel 167 Canada Talks. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy.